Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Skinny Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm really excited for my guest today. I have Ms. Daria Guzzo. She is the program coordinator for the DC iteration of the Capital Impact Partners, their organization that's really into affordable housing, providing financing for businesses that are making an impact in the community in several different ways. So she's going to talk more about that. But first and foremost, Daria, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jessica, for having me. I'm super excited.
Thank you for coming on the show. I'm super excited to have you. Thank you so much for taking the time. So let's jump right into it first. So why and how did you first get interested in real estate?
Absolutely. It's a roundabout answer because I didn't really ever guess that I would be in real estate. I graduated from college and I majored in political science and Spanish, so nothing too specific related to real estate. So I was open to what my first job would be. And through a connection and a close friend at my college, I stepped into a role at a small development and property management firm in Chicago focused on affordable housing in the south side of Chicago and in Gary, Indiana. And so did not know much at all about housing or affordable housing at all, but it did align with kind of my values and what I was hoping to do, which was work in communities. So that's why I took it. And in that first year, I just learned so much, got exposed to so much. And I think why I'm so passionate about it is, and what I realized quickly through kind of my first boss and my mentor at that job, is he talked about how, you know, foundational housing is to all of our other needs in community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, without a safe roof over your head, you don't really have access to the education that you need, without Wi-Fi and a place to do homework. You can't have access to healthy food without a roof over your head, with a refrigerator to store and prepare that healthy food. So I liked it because I was really into studying how things are interdisciplinary and overlap. And I really feel that housing is that way. So in a nutshell, that's how I got to an affordable housing development firm and ultimately how I found Capital Impact Partners. I was really inspired and excited to work with a large range of developers in this DMV region, which, as you know, is always rapidly changing. Mm-hmm. And has so many opportunities for growth.
Okay. Well, let's talk about you a little bit before Capital Impact Partners. Yeah. Before getting to DC, you were worked with the State Department for a time, and you were able to go abroad. So how was that experience?
Yes, I did an internship with the State Department at the embassy in Santiago, Chile. It was an amazing experience. I felt very lucky to get that opportunity. Like I mentioned, I was a Spanish major in college. I also played basketball at the Division III level, so it made it a little harder to do a traditional study abroad program. Mm. So I really wanted to find an opportunity to live in a Spanish-speaking country and practice my skills. So that was kind of the motivation to seeking out that internship. It was really fascinating to just witness how the U.S., what roles the U.S. plays in other countries. Mm-hmm. Through diplomacy and relationship management. So I had a lot of great takeaways from that element, just to see, you know, how others view the U.S. and look at sometimes the communities there and realize, you know, we're not all that different. The needs that I see in my community where I live and in our country don't differ too much, and everybody's really working toward the same thing. So I think a lot of takeaways from that. It was a really fun time and a really good exposure to another culture.
Okay, awesome. And so fast forward, now you're in DC. Mm-hmm. How long have you been living and working in the DMV area now?
Yeah, two different answers to that, because I started technically working in the DMV in October of 2020. Mm-hmm. But as you probably can imagine, we were fully remote at that time. So I finished out my lease and all that in the Midwest. I officially moved to the DMV this past January of 2022.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to talk all about Capital Impact Partners and everything that they're doing. But I saw that you recently completed Leadership Washington, which is an amazing program. You know, you really get plugged in with other leaders and other who's who of the city. So mm-hmm. Tell me about how you got involved with that and how was that experience?
Absolutely. So Leadership Greater Washington is a organization in the DC metro area, and they self-identify as, you know, a leadership incubator. I participated in their Rising Leaders program for 2022, and that was a 5-month program where my cohort of, I think it was about 30 of us, got together monthly. And we had full day trainings on every topic you can imagine related to professional development. So managing change, managing up, professional speaking, networking, you name it. Mm-hmm. So obviously that training was super helpful and really helpful during a time when we're kind of emerging back into the hybrid and in-person, you know, kind of sharpening up those skills and learning new ones. But also the opportunity to meet, like you said, all the amazing leaders, my peers in the region, but also people who I would aspire to be in the future. Mm-hmm. Really awesome, unique experience. I would certainly recommend folks in the DMV region look at Leadership Greater Washington's programming, as well as employers to look at it for their employees, because it's a great investment. And I really felt like I benefited from that program.
Okay. Is it a thing where you have to be like an application process, or is it something where they come find you? How was it?
Yeah, the Rising Leader program is more so you register. There is, you know, I think a cap, but it's a pretty open program, so not so much of an application. They also have their signature program, which is for, I would say, more seasoned professionals. I can't speak exactly to that. I think that may be more of an application process, but not for sure. So I'd encourage folks to take a look at their website.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now we can talk about Capital Impact Partners. So what is it? And what are some of the, just, you know, a few rundown of some of the programs and initiatives that they're doing in terms of helping businesses, helping, you know, aspiring real estate developers?
Sure. So Capital Impact Partners is a national nonprofit community development financial institution, CDFI. And I was one of those people who did not know what that was before I found Capital Impact. So I always make sure to like spell out the full acronym. We are, you know, like I mentioned, national, but we are also place-based. We're headquartered here in the DMV. And kind of our overarching goal is to eliminate racial disparities and inequities and really uplift community-led solutions. Historically, the areas we have worked in have been affordable housing, cooperative development, dignified aging, education, healthcare, healthy foods, revitalized or place-based revitalization, and public policy. So mm-hmm. a long list, but kind of everything encompassing community development in some way. So historically, that's who we've been. And affordable housing, like I mentioned, is one of our core focus areas. And I can speak a little bit, especially to those programs, as those are the ones I work most heavily within. Mm-hmm. So the Equitable Development Initiative, which is how I met you, Jessica, and my kind of main role at Capital Impact, was actually started in our Detroit office and market. Mm-hmm. It started in 2018 there. We had been doing for some time lending work, a lot of financing in Detroit. But after taking a step back, Capital Impact realized that we were lending to folks who didn't really represent Detroit. So, you know, Detroit is a majority Black city, and a lot of our lending was going to outsiders or white folks, white developers. And that was something we wanted to address. And right. So the Equitable Development Initiative kind of bore out of that realization as a way to bring more aspiring and emerging developers of color into the ecosystem and help try to open doors to that access to capital that we know is kind of a barrier to the industry. Right. So it started in Detroit in 2018. It came to the DMV region in 2019. And now we are in 4 geographies, which is Detroit, DMV. We started Bay Area this year, and there's a current cohort going on in Dallas. So collectively, after Dallas wraps up, we'll have completed 10 cohorts across the country. We've done 3 cohorts here in the DMV, so just about 70 alumni total. And EDI has 3 main pillars. There's the training, the one-on-one mentorship, and the access to capital. The training is weekly for, as you remember, about 4 to 5 months. So it's a long, intensive program, and Capital Impact, maybe to say the least. Capital Impact really brings in folks, the experts from the field, to do that. So we're more the facilitator role. And we do training from basically soup to nuts of the development process. And paired with the training is that capstone project, which hopefully right. you reflect on fondly. But that's what makes it so intense is it's, you know, a capstone similar to what you might see in a graduate program. It's a sped up development process. So the cohort breaks up into teams and works on a kind of real life scenario project mm-hmm. that at the culmination of the program, they make a pitch to a professional jury. So that's the training piece. The one-on-one mentorship piece, which is arguably maybe the most important, is Capital Impact. We work to find seasoned developers and professionals who are willing to spend time with emerging developers with one-on-one time. And those sessions can be focused on the developer's current projects, maybe their business enterprise questions and conversations, whatever it may be. Making those connections, A, is very fruitful on our side because we can see partnerships come of it and just sometimes what that mentorship can achieve. And so that's a critical part of EDI as well. Right. And third is that access to capital, which is always an ongoing, you know, conversation. So of course, we bring in our lending team to meet with the developers, talk about the products we offer, talk about, you know, what we're doing and how we're trying to listen to how we can innovate. We also try to introduce other financial partners in the region to the cohort, such as Green Banks, other CDFI partners that we work with, things of that nature. Again, really just trying to open the doors and create those relationships before the capital is needed. That way, that just kind of eases the process and really creates that community of trust on both sides. So that in a nutshell, and I could talk about EDI all day, is kind of on the programmatic side, our work with affordable housing.
Okay. And yeah, like she said, it's a very intensive program, but all of the training, the mentorship, and then the access to capital is just invaluable. So I think it was pretty much a life-changing experience for me, and I highly encourage others to get involved with it. Are we all planning to have another cohort next fall?
So we're definitely in the works. We are exploring, you know, we have a couple other programs going on right now, which I'll be happy to talk about in a bit too. But right now we're thinking probably more early 2023 is when we'll see a DMV cohort 4 application launch. Mm-hmm. You can always find my email address on our website, and maybe Jessica, you can include it. And I can make sure to add folks to our email listserv as we make announcements and things around that.
Okay. So you just transitioned into the other initiatives you guys have going on. So there's a partnership and a program with Amazon. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So probably everyone in our region in the DMV is familiar with Amazon moving their HQ2 to Arlington, Virginia, and, you know, which is, you know, touching a lot of parts of our region as a whole. We've been very happy to receive a $5 million grant from Amazon from part of their housing equity fund mm-hmm. to support our new program called the Housing Equity Accelerator Fellowship. This fellowship is similar to EDI in a lot of ways. It was inspired by EDI and our success there. It is a program similarly for developers of color. It's kind of the emerging to established stage. So folks who have a pipeline and have projects that are under their belt at this point. Similar to EDI, there's a training. It's a little different. It's a two-year program with monthly sessions instead, but same concept. There's still that one-on-one mentorship. But what's really exciting about this program is there is access to pre-development grant funds for all the developers in the program. So grant funds to cover architectural drawings, site planning, permitting, feasibility studies, some of that early stage capital that we know is harder and more expensive to attain for developers. So that's an exciting facet. This program, it started, I want to say in May, around there. And we've been going ever since, and we're seeing great things. And it's exciting to see how this cohort will grow over the course of 2 years. So that's an exciting partnership, and really focused on unit production. So it's exciting.
Very exciting. Like you said, that pre-development fund is a game changer, because that is kind of one of the most important things that hinders a lot of people from getting into development, because right. you got to put a lot of money out up front before you can even get a loan, before you can get any type of money coming in to your project.
Exactly.
All right. And so now there's a third program that's more for your experienced developers or for some of those mentors that are the EDUI program. There's an even higher level. So tell us about that.
Yes. So Wells Fargo has supported us. And when I say us, Capital Impact Partners, but it's also a program in partnership with two CDFI partners, Reinvestment Fund and Lyft, Low Income Investment Fund. So it's three CDFIs running this program nationally. And this program is called the Growing Diverse Housing Developers Program. So those, it's across six markets. We have the New York metro area, Philadelphia, DMV and Baltimore, Atlanta and Georgia, Texas, and California. I think I hit them all. There's six total. And so this program, like you say, is for more advanced developers, developers who have been for some time running their own development shop, have completed several projects on their own. And this program is slight pivot. It's a really a focus on growing the business enterprise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, still a focus on development, but these developers have been in the space for quite a while. So they are meeting monthly. It's a four-year program, and they are going to get access to grant funds for business enterprise needs. So they're getting a little over $500,000 to support their business enterprise scaling, which is super phenomenal. And we are working with them to, again, be innovative in the lending space. How can we bring more people to the table? And really kind of it's peer-to-peer learning. That's what's really exciting about this program. So it's exciting kind of being in the wings of that program as well. And, you know, I think we can all use all three of these programs to continue learning and continue innovating in the program and lending space.
Absolutely. And so also there was a recent announcement that you guys have formed Momentus Capital. I see it in the background there. And so this is another kind of joint venture of other organizations. So tell us about that and how is that going to impact Capital Impact Partners moving forward?
Absolutely. So like you say, you know, Capital Impact Partners still exists. And just to say, you know, this kind of alliance between going the wrong way in the side, Capital Impact Partners, CDC, Small Business Finance, and Ventures Lending Technologies, we have been in an alliance or, you know, it's like a merger for a little over a year now. So Momentus Capital was kind of the branding reveal of our umbrella brand. We are all now sister organizations formerly in the market space. But what this allows us to do is just provide a larger continuum of services and solutions. So small business or CDC Small Business Finance has that small business expertise that they're bringing to us collectively. We sit in more the community development space, and Ventures Lending Technologies is bringing that innovative technological advancement that is so needed as well.
Right.
So kind of what we can do now is a larger swath of activities. We have small business lending, community development lending, business advising and capacity building, which is where I sit, impact investing, community lender software, as well as community focused investment bank services. So just looking to drive more change, bring more people onto the team across all of our markets nationally, in the communities in which we live and work.
Okay. Well, very exciting times, very exciting times. So we talk all about Capital Impact Partners, but what about you personally? What are you interested in investing in? And what are some of the things that you're looking to do moving forward?
Yeah. I'll give one answer and maybe I'm going to interpret the word investing differently than how you mean. So just correct me, but I would say just kind of getting out of the workspace, what I'm interested in, if that's where you want me to go. I'm really a strong advocate for women in sports. Outside of work, I've been, you know, I mentioned I played college basketball at the Division III level. And after graduating college, I took up coaching in Chicago. And in a brief time where the pandemic kind of threw off plans in Minnesota, I would love to get back into it now that I'm a little more settled here in the region. But generally speaking, girls in sports, women in sports is a huge passion of mine and would love to kind of explore that, you know, outside of my 9-to-5. But that's, you know, where I think a lot, you know, and enjoy time away from the office.
Okay, awesome. And as far as on the real estate side, are you looking to purchase or invest in anything?
Great question. You know, we're still working on the student loans, but I think
right.
One day I would love to. And, you know, like I'm from the Midwest, so living in the DMV is a different ball game for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting. You learn a lot. you learn a lot in like your workspace that like applies to your life about real estate. And it's like, oh, this will help me one day when I look to buy my first home or other properties. So I think it's definitely something I consider as, you know, get more situated and more rooted in my community now.
Cool. All right. Well, let's transition now to the last segment of the show, which is the Fabulous Four. It's four questions I ask everybody. So first off, what's your favorite book about real estate?
Yeah. I don't know if favorite's like the appropriate word, but to me, maybe the most impactful book and a must read to me is The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein. You know, like I mentioned, when I started my first job, I didn't know much about real estate at all. But I began seeing a lot. I began taking in a lot from, like, Chicago is a very unique place to study real estate and community because it is still pretty segregated, and you can see where communities have been invested in and where they have been disinvested in. Mm-hmm. So seeing that, it was, you know, different than wherever I grew up, which is a smaller part of Illinois. So The Color of Law to me puts a lot of historical context of that in one place and allows you to understand the technical and legal things that were put in place to make things they are the way they are today. Right. So that it was just a shocking book, but at the same time, I guess not shocking reading about all that, but mm-hmm. it just kind of revealed to me like how much we have to unlearn and how much we have to undo in order for us to live in a more equitable and everybody to live in a more comfortable community space. So that to me is like the most impactful book I've read on real estate so far.
For sure. Definitely a must read. Okay. The second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self when you were just getting started in your career?
Yeah. So much advice probably, but I'm going to take something from an old basketball coach I had in junior high that sticks with me to this day. And I really try to remember it when I was starting out. And it's that you should become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Not like a crazy experience or anything, but I remember early in my first job, I went to like an informational meeting, housing meeting related to an RFP that was coming out. So just a kind of Q&A session. It was in person. And I think I was like one of three or four women in the room out of like 25 or 30. So it wasn't like huge, but it was still like, you know, obvious that there weren't a whole lot of women in this space. And I was by far the youngest woman. So it was just, I felt so out of place, so unprepared. And I was really only there to take notes, you know, so it's just like, but I felt uncomfortable. And it kind of, you know, highlights the fact of like who gets into the industry,
right?
And how not a lot of women are made aware of the real estate industry. At least I never was. And you don't hear about it as much as maybe men do, by way of it's kind of passed down through families. So being comfortable with being uncomfortable, because you have to get over that, you know, if we want to make the change and create opportunities. You know, I think it's just something that's probably going to be a part of this for a while until more women get in the space.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely a place that you don't see too many familiar faces.
Right.
So you have to learn how to adjust and kind of be able to shift into different environments. So
absolutely.
Great advice. Great advice. Yeah. All right. Third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about personally?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. Obviously, there's so much to learn. You know, real estate is such a broad category and things change. But I would be curious and would love to start spending some time learning about the policy side. So by way of the developers I work with, such as yourself, and just where we sit, hear a lot about kind of on the ground things, mm-hmm. and the initiatives and all the policies, you know, how they're affecting, you know, our day-to-day work. But I would love to start thinking about how federal, state, and municipal policies create that tension or create that friction in the challenges and opportunities. So I'd love to delve a little bit more into that, I guess, high-level, impactful space of real estate.
Well, you're in the perfect place, right in the seat of it all, yes, DC, yes. So... Awesome. All right. And so lastly, can you please give a shout out to another woman that's in real estate?
That was a hard question, Jessica, because there's so many. I know.
You can give more than one.
Yes. I came down. I'm going to give it to all the EDI alumni, all the women in the program that I've worked with. I'm seriously so inspired by everyone especially the women, because I see some of them, you know, taking care of their children in the background of the training sessions and doing that work. And, you know, for me, I want to be a mother and I want to have a full-time career. And so just seeing you all do it and seeing, you know, the sacrifices folks that I've worked with through the program make to be a part of it, super inspiring to me. So all my EDI women.
All right. Awesome. Yes. Yeah, shout out to the ladies of EDI. All right. So how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about what you have going on, about the Capital Impact Partners, anything like that?
Absolutely. I'll make sure you have the EDI webpage just in case anybody is not in the DMV. Like I mentioned, we're in Detroit, Dallas, Bay Area for EDI. So if you're interested in getting in touch with my colleagues there, that website will have everybody's email broken down by region. My email is dguzzo@capitalimpact.org. Always happy to chat with folks. We're always looking for people who are interested in participating in our programs, but also mentoring, advising, being a critic in our capstone. So there's so many opportunities to tap into this EDI program and our other developer programs. Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. So any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
Thank you, Jessica, for having me. The work is still out there. So much work to be done. And happy to be along for the ride and working with so many great people in the space.
Yes, absolutely. Great people like you. Thank you for all that you do. Like you said, that EDI program is intense. It's like a lot of months. It's a lot of sessions. It's a lot of moving parts with, yes, you know, all the people that are involved with it. So you definitely hold it together well and run a tight ship. So we appreciate you for sure.
Thank you, Jessica.
All right. Well, thank you again, Daria, for this episode. This was an amazing conversation. Thank you for your time. All right. And we're signing off another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. This is my guest today, Ms. Daria Guzzo. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.